You're listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday morning, February 12th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, Facing the Giant of the Adversary.
1 Peter, may I have that mic, please? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And for several sermons, I'll use this one, for several sermons years, months, I guess, ago, I prepared a couple of sermons a couple of years ago on facing giants. And I started just back, it was back in August of 2011. Matter of fact, on August 2011, on Sunday morning, I preached on facing the giant of loneliness. Then on Sunday night, I preached that same night on facing the giant of pride. Some of you remember. Then on August the 21st, 2011, on the morning, I preached on facing the giant of backsliding. Sunday night, facing the giant of compromise. And then the following Sunday night, on the 28th, facing the giant of standards. I was up late last night. I ran all day long yesterday, out soul winning, follow up, making visits. And then went to the banquet last night and enjoyed a good time of fellowship. And then I had time, finally, to rest in and to work on a message. And this is a new one that I'd like to add, if I could, to that one. And this is facing the giant of your adversary. And I want us to notice something here, if I may. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The words walking about there means this. It means to make use of opportunities. So when the devil is walking about, what he's doing is he's making use of opportunities to be able to do something in your life. Now he tells what he's going to do in your life. He says, seeking whom he may devour. So he's not after your things this morning. He's after you. The Bible says here that he walketh about, so he's looking for opportunities as he goes about you, as he walks in your presence, and he's looking for opportunities to be able to devour you. Well, it talks about the words there, roaring lion. It's talking about how he wants to bring that which is fear in your life to the point, to the place where you stand still, and now you can be destroyed, such as a lion would come into the presence of its prey. And because of the magnificent structure, both masculine-wise and also because of the way it's known in the forest, as it steps out there before the prey, all of a sudden the prey becomes still. It doesn't know what to do. The prey becomes, if you will, with a heart full of fear and does not know what to do. Now, may I say that you and I ought to understand and respect who the devil is. But you, because God is greater in you than he that is in the world, ought not to have a more fear of the devil than you do a fear of God. Now, I want us to see something. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. The Bible says, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So the Bible talks about how the devil wants to take advantage of us. I want to give you some statements this morning. I hope you write them down. About how it is that we can understand our adversary. Statement number one, know your enemy. Know your enemy. The Bible does not say that the person sitting behind you, in front of you, or beside you is your enemy. They are not your enemy. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. So the Bible says that we have an enemy, but that enemy is the devil himself. Now we understand who he is. The Bible says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, The Bible says accuser of the brother. Now, it did not say that he's the false accuser. He doesn't have to make up anything about you. He doesn't have to make up anything about us. Many times we fall so short that we give him much, much room to be able to accuse us of the things that we are not rightfully doing that we should be rightfully doing. But yet, the Bible says that he's an accuser of the brother. The Bible talks about how he's our adversary. One time, somebody came into the presence of Billy Sunday. Of course, Billy Sunday was a great evangelist that lived from 1863 to 1935. And they walked into the presence of Billy Sunday and said, "Do you really believe that there's a devil?" He said, "Yes, I believe there's a devil for two reasons. Number one, the Bible tells me there's a devil. And if that's the only reason why I should believe there's a devil, I believe it because the Bible says there's a devil. But I also believe there's a devil because I have done business with him." Now, did you know that most of us believe that there's a devil for two reasons? Number one, we trust God in his word. Number two, because the devil at one time or another has done something, whether it's through him or one of his imps, in your life to help you to understand that he is real and that he is alive and well. He's called the tempter. The Bible talks about how over in the book of Matthew chapter 4 and in verse 3 that he's called the tempter and he's out there to be able to bring destruction. He's called the angel of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. The Bible says Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. The Bible says that he's called a murderer. The Bible says he's called a liar and he's called the god of this age. John chapter 8 verse 44. The Bible says he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So the Bible talks about he is a liar. Now, the biggest lie that he can convince you of this morning is that he does not exist. Because if you don't believe that he exists, then he is going to wail on you like never before, and you're not going to know it's him, and you're going to get discouraged, and you're going to find yourself in want. So we understand who he is. We understand that he's called the devil, the accuser. He's called Satan, our adversary. He's called the tempter because he's after your demise. He's called the angel of light. He's called a murderer. He's called a liar. He's called the god of this age. But then we have to understand, if we're going to understand our enemy this morning, we have to understand what he can do. We understand that he can be strong. We understand that many, many times a kingdom has been overthrown, or yea, an individual has been overthrown because of his strength. We understand that he's subtile. The Bible talks about the wiles of the devil. That means this. If you'll do a word study on that word wiles, it means that he's cunning, it means he's crafty, and it means that he's a strategist. It means that he strategizes how to bring things to pass in your life that are not good things. May I say that he's real. He's a determined individual. He doesn't quit. He's not going to give up. If he cannot get you one way, he'll try and get you another way. But he is not going to give up on you. But may I also remind you that he is a defeated foe. If you read the back of your Bible, you're going to find out that there's going to be a day when he is cast in to that which is the depths of hell. Now, we understand that he's a defeated foe. Now, but understand this. Today, he's alive and well. Understand this today, that he wants to destroy you. He wants to hurt you. He wants to bring your family to a point and to a place where you are ultimately destroyed. He is after the who's that's in this room. If he can get you tonight or yea this morning as a dad, then he wants to do that. If he could get your wife tonight or yea this morning, then he wants to do that. If he could wail down on your children this afternoon or tonight or yes, even this morning and destroy your children, that's exactly what he wants to do. He is trying to destroy every person that names the name of God and that goes forward to accomplish a task for Jesus Christ. But we also understand that not only do we have an enemy, but we have a commander. Now, this is so good. You remember over in the book of Joshua, chapter 5, and in verse 13, here's what we see. The Bible says that Joshua was by Jericho, and he lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and behold, there stood a man against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went on to him and said unto him, art thou for us, or, it says, for our adversaries? So Joshua stands over against that which is Jericho. Now, you understand, Joshua's getting ready to take on a monumental task. Jericho was the largest walled city of its day. Jericho was the very first city that they came to in entering into the promised land. Jericho, if you would please, was a city none like he had ever seen before or yea was ever going to see since. And yet he came to this monstropolis of a type of a city, and he stood outside the walls of Jericho. No doubt Joshua was thinking, how in the world can I overcome such a walled city? And yet there stood beside him, the Bible says, one that drew a sword. Now immediately, since he did not know him, he asked the question, are you for us or are you one of our adversaries? Who are you? Now watch this. This is so good. The Bible says in verse 14 of Joshua chapter 5, the Bible says, and he said, nay, I'm the captain of the host of the Lord. Am I come now? And Joshua fell on his face and did worship and said unto him, it says, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Now he understood who this was. By the way, you'll understand when God begins to work in your life who he is and how he's working. You may be looking at something in your life and you're saying, boy, that's too big for me to handle. Boy, that's just too much of a solidness for me to handle. And boy, that's coming between me and the land of blessing. That is going to stop me from getting the blessings that I need in my life. And you look at that thing, and if you're not careful, you'll become distracted by that blockage in your life because you think, I can never reach my personal promised land. I can never reach that land, if you would please, of promised victory. I can never be able again to be able to have the God's riches poured out in my life. And if you're not careful, you'll look at things that are big in your life and you'll look at things that are massive in your life, and those things will begin to discourage you to the point and to the place where you'll freeze, because the devil still does go about as a roaring lion. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to get you to freeze in your track. And if he can get you to freeze in your track, friend, I promise you, you'll never, never make yardage for Jesus Christ. I remember when I played football many years ago, and I was at North Carroll High School, and that's the team I played on. And I remember that we came across this team, and I never saw such big fellas in all my life. I mean, I was just a skinny drink of water and just tall and skinny, and I didn't weigh much back then, and things have changed greatly in life, I promise you. But I didn't weigh much back then, and just a skinny. Now, of course, you know, I was a wide receiver, and that meant this. That meant that it was my job to get the ball and make yardage with it. That's what it meant. But man, you know what? When you see a big, big wall that is standing between you and where you're supposed to be, it could be discouraging. I looked at those guys and said, I've got one request. Let me live. You know, I'm talking to my teammates. I said, you know, you break away. I mean, you don't let these guys kill me. Amen. And we're going to make some. But if you're not careful, here's what takes place. What takes place is you see this big thing in your life. You see this huge thing in your life. And you're saying, there's no way I can get victory over that. There is no way I can overcome that. And what happens is you stare at that thing in your life, whatever it is, between you and victory. And if you're not careful, you'll stare at that so much that you don't think to ever get victory, and you freeze in your tracks. And you never go forward. Hey, what happens to the missionary that surrenders to go to the field but never makes it? What happens to the preacher that surrenders to preach but never preaches? What happens to the businessman that's led of God to step out by faith on this business endeavor but never steps out? What happens to the person that's the educator and that never completes the task? What happens to the person that is trying to establish something in their family but never establishes it? What happens to the person that tries to go forward but never accomplishes it? I'll tell you what happens. What happens is they see a blockade in their life, and they stare at that blockade more than they stare at the one that can take down the blockade. They stare at the big, huge thing in their life, and they look at the big, huge thing in their life. And by the way, the Bible says that we're supposed to go to God, and he says, give us this day our daily bread. Here's what you do. You expect strength for 10 years from now, and you expect strength for 5 years from now, and you expect God to show you his will for 2, 3, and 4 years from now, but God is not going to do that. God, the Bible teaches, that leads us day by day. The Bible says that he shines that light onto our path. He didn't say that he shines the light onto our future. He says that he shines that light upon our path. All right? So God leads you step by step. The problem is, if you stop stepping, then God stops leading. It's almost like you taking a flashlight and going into a dark room. You take that flashlight, you go into a dark room. When you stop moving, that flashlight stops shining. Now, that's not something that is revolutionary in its thought, but it's true. You stop moving, and that light will stop shining. That's like the will of God in your life. You say, well, I've done the will of God, I've done the will of God, I've done the will of God. But when you stop, then what happens is you're not moving, and you can't see what God is going to do because you stopped where God did not want you to stop. Well, it's like with education. If you want your child to be more greatly educated, then you have to make it available for them to receive a greater education. It's like with spirituality. If you want your child to be more spiritual, then you have to make a way for them to be around more spirituality. If you want your child to be challenged more in the faith, then you've got to get them to a point and to a place where they're challenged more in the faith. Any place that you stop in your life is where you're going to wind up sitting down. And my Bible says that I'm supposed to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It does not say I'm supposed to sit down in the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't even say I'm supposed to run through the valley of the shadow of death. God says you're supposed to walk. Take your time, learn the lessons that God has for you while you're in the valley so you can appreciate it once you get out of your valley. Now, here's what he's saying. He's saying here that we're supposed to know our enemy. You do have an enemy. You do have somebody that wants you to become lethargic. I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to be a pastor of a dead Baptist church. You know, where you try to get somebody elevated enough to say amen, and you can't get a holy grunt out of them, and it sounds like you're in a funeral home. Now, I say Parkside Baptist Church ought never to become a funeral home. We ought to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I mean, listen, if you're glad that you're saved this morning, then you ought to tell your face, and you ought to tell your lungs, and you ought to shout amen, simply because of the fact that, listen, you've got something to rejoice over. You know, the people who get down and the people who get discouraged this morning, I promise you, the people who get down and the people who get discouraged this morning are those that are walking around with poochy lip disease, and they got their bottom lip sagging out between their two big toes, and they can't see where they're going. And they get all discouraged. I mean, look, the next time you have a flat out there on the highway someplace, why don't you decide this? Why don't you decide to get out of the car, clap your hands together, run around the car, and shout hallelujah? I promise you'll get more attention that way than by sitting there sucking your thumb. And sucking your thumb's not going to help anybody. Brother Roloff many years ago was in prison, and somebody stopped by and they said, how you doing? He said, well, the Bible says I'm doing fine. Well, now, isn't that what you need? We need to go back to where the Bible says that we're just doing fine and just believe God. Now, wait a minute. Here's what we see. We see, number one, talking about our adversary this morning, we see we ought to know our enemy. Statement number one. Then know your commander. Know who he is. Joshua was not trying to get the Lord to serve in his army. But Joshua knew that he was supposed to serve in the Lord's army. Somebody stopped Abraham Lincoln one day and said, sir, what do you think about the war? Abraham Lincoln said, sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is, are we on God's side? You know, it is very, very important that we understand we have one commander. Now, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to trust him. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the Bible says, he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Well, now, you can take that outside on a rainy day and find shelter underneath that umbrella. Why? Because he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Look, that'll make you smile when that dentist comes with you with his auger bit and says, open, please. He said, he'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's right beside you. You say, but you don't understand the plight in which I find myself in. I don't have to understand your plight. I know God. Which you don't understand, preacher. I just don't know what I'm going to do. You're not supposed to know what to do. You're supposed to trust him and know him and obey him. Look, if you could figure life out, then life would not be worth living. But you're supposed to trust the one that has all the answers. Oh, that's the advantage of serving God. Isn't it a neat thing to serve God? You don't have to understand Him to love Him, and you don't have to understand Him to trust Him, and you don't have to understand Him to obey Him. All you have to do is to know that He cares about you and that He's got your best interest at heart. And so doing, you step out and put your feelings aside, put the problems aside, step out, serve God, obey God, and let God do something miraculous in your life. And God will change you. And when He changes you, He'll change you from the inside out. Oh, watch this, if you will. You think about in the book of John, chapter 16 and verse 33. The Bible says, it says here, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Oh, isn't that a blessing? God said, I just want to encourage your heart that as you go through this world, you are going to have tribulation. Well, thank you, God. Thank you so much for encouraging my heart. Now wait, but it doesn't stop there. Aren't you glad? He says, but be of good cheer. Well, thank you, Father. You said in this world, I'm going to have tribulation. And then He says, but be of good cheer. Okay, so now you're telling me I'm going to have tribulation, but be happy about it. Boy, I tell you what, I'm excited. He says, why? He says, because He says, I have overcome the world. So He says this. He says, now, look, He said, you're going to have tribulation. And by the way, you are going to have tribulation. To some of you, going to the dentist is your personal tribulation. To some of you, going to the bank is your personal tribulation. To some of you, visiting your in-laws that you think are your outlaws is your personal tribulation. To some of you, going to work is your personal tribulation. To some of you, you have all these little tribulations. But God says this. He says, now look, He says, understand. He says that I have overcome the world. So whatever you're facing, this is good news for you, whatever you're facing right now that you call a tribulation in your life, if it's in this world, now if it's on Mars, we might be different. But if it's in this world, He said, be of good cheer. He said, I've overcome it. Well, doesn't the Bible say, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, shall ask what you will and it shall be done? Isn't that what the Bible says? And so if He's overcome the world and I'm abiding in Him, then also, am I not also overcoming the world? Well, sure I am. All right, listen to it. The book of Isaiah, chapter 43 and verse 2. The Bible says, and thou passest through the waters, and I will be with thee. It says, through the rivers, and they shall not overflow thee. Thou shalt walk through the fire, and it shall, listen to it now, be burned. You shall not be burned. It says, neither shall the flame, it says, kindle upon thee. He said, so you don't have to worry about it. He said, if you're going through the waters, I'm going with you. If you're going through the river, I'm going with you. He said, if you're going through the fire, I'm going with you. Matter of fact, as you're going through the fire, I'm going to protect you so much that the fire is not going to have opportunity to kindle upon you. That's pretty good. See, He has proven Himself through and through. The book of Psalms, in Psalm 145 and verse 13, here's what it says. The Bible says the kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion, it says, endureth throughout all generations. So I don't have to fear the devil like I ought to fear and trust God with a reverential type of fear and respect. I don't have to be somebody that walks around, so I just don't know if I can handle it because I have an adversary. Well, everybody has an adversary. Well, I don't know if I can make it because after all, it's so big and I just don't see how I can penetrate it. But you can. My Bible says I can do all things through Christ, through Christ, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So I can do all things by abiding in Him. I don't have to be afraid of things. Many years ago, there was a revival that was being held. It was in a Kentucky town, and a revival was being held in a Kentucky town. Oh, it was raining outside so very bad. And it was around the Halloween time, and there was a fella that decided he wanted to dress up. So he went out and he found himself a costume. Just happened to be a devil's costume. And so he found a costume. He got the devil's costume, and it had the horns and all this stuff. And the devil doesn't look that way, but some people depict him to be so. And he put the devil's costume. Oh, it's raining outside so bad. And he got out there in the middle of it, and he thought, boy, I've got to find shelter. I've got to find shelter. And he saw that there was a gathering at a certain place. It just happened to be that church. Boy, they were in the middle of the revival, and this guy comes running dressed like a devil. And boy, he comes running in there in the middle of that revival, and people looked up, and they started panicking. Boy, they started running out, and there was this older lady, and she started to run, and she got her purse caught on the end of the pew. And she started trying to jerk her purse, and this man's walking in, and all he's trying to do is get dry. He's soaking wet. I mean, his horns are starting to lay down. Hello. By the way, when somebody's a devil in your life, you need to pray their horns lay down, don't you? And so he started to come closer and closer. He's trying to help the lady, saw that the purse was caught on the end of the pew. He's just trying to be a kind devil. So he went up and he tried to get the purse unlinched off of the end of the pew. Boy, it gets closer and closer. She begins to panic and she doesn't know what to say. And finally, she says, in a moment of panic, she says, I know everybody ran from you. And I've been a member of this church for 30 years. But I just want you to know, I've always been on your side. Now, may I say this morning, listen, we have to understand that we have a commander. And that commander ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to decide that we're going to be on the right side with the commander. Many years ago, a young couple was visiting the church, and they had been looking for a church for some time. They were praying, and so they came inside the church. Oh, the sermon was just not what she thought it would be. So in the car, on the way back, she said this. She said, you know, it seems to me that that preacher did not put enough fire in his sermon. Oh, the husband said, I disagree. I've got a different opinion. My opinion is what he should have did is put his sermon in the fire. Okay, never mind. Statement number one, I said that you know your enemy. Statement number two, you know your commander. I thought that one was funny. And statement number three, you know your position. Now think about this. I have an enemy. I have a commander. But inside of that commander, I'm supposed to know my position. Okay. By the way, any type of commander is not going to be somebody that's a dictator, but rather he's going to be a leader. Now watch this. It's a whole lot easier. Stand up, Dr. Allen, if you would please. And stand and face that way if you don't mind. And it's a whole lot easier to lead somebody. Paul said, follow me even as I follow Christ. Is that right? All right. So it's a whole lot easier to follow somebody that's following Christ. It's a whole lot easier. And by the way, if you're following your commander and your commander is Jesus Christ, when your commander is leading the right way and I'm staying behind my commander, he is bigger than I am, and I'm staying behind my commander, then he's going to take most of the shots. It's when I get out here and try and do things all by myself that I get hurt. It's when I'm running to the other side and say, well, I know what the Bible says, but after all, this is the way I'm going to run my home. That's when I'm in danger. It's when I say, well, I know what God says about church and about that Bible and about truth, but after all, I've got my own opinion. Well, if God wanted your opinion, he would have gave you a page in the Bible to write it. But it just so happens that he thinks he's right. All right, now wait a minute. And so what I'm supposed to do is I'm supposed to follow my commander. Now, that's all I'm supposed to do. I don't have to think about all these things. Oh, I just tell you, I've got to deliberate on the will of God about this. You know, most of the will of God, 90% of the will of God you can find written in your Bible. Did you know that? 90%. You say, well, I'm just trying to figure out what God wants. Well, you won't figure out what God wants until you start obeying the 90% that's written in the book. You start obeying the 90% that's written in the book, you're going to come to a place. You ever do this? You ever go on a trip, and as you're driving through the mountains, you saw things you never saw before? As you're flying over a city, you saw things you never saw before? That's like the will of God for your life. As you go on a trip and you're following your commander in chief, let's go to the other side if you don't mind. And remember, you pray for Brother Allen. He has double vision, so I don't know which way he's going to lead me. But now watch this. And so as I follow my commander, here's what takes place. As I follow my commander, I get to see things I never saw before. Wow. I get to see the beauty of things I never saw before. As I follow my commander, I just obey him. When I follow him, he takes me to places I've never been before. But now, wait a minute. The very second, stay there if you will. The very second that I say, look, I'm tired of following you. I tell you what, I'm just going to stop right here. All right. Then I lose the blessing of seeing what God wants me to see. And I lose, if you would please, the experiences that God wants me to experience. I'm tired. I'm just going to sit down right where I am, and I'm going to stay. This is where I am. I've grown enough. I've served God enough, and this is enough for me, and that's all it is to it. All right? Then does God still have more for me to do? Does God still have directions for me to lead and to follow him? And by the way, as I follow him, come here, Jared, if you will, and as this one here, and as I follow him, what happens is this. what happened? Okay, watch this. As I follow him, then I'm impressing one of my boys to follow me. Yeah, it's all. Where's Mrs. Wells? Where's my sweetheart? Come here, if you will. Come here. Come on, and let's do. Stay there. You're doing such a great job, Brother Allen. And watch this. And so here we go. Are you ready? Here we go. And as Mrs. Wells and I follow our commander, all right? I follow. Mrs. Wells follows me, and we go. As we go, she gets to see things that she never saw before, because I'm obeying him. Because I'm obeying him, and she's following me. She gets blessings she never would have had. All right, one day, Mrs. Wells gets mad at me. Go ahead, get mad at me. Can't do it, can you, because I gave you roses. And but one day, Mrs. Wells gets mad at me, and she folds her arms across her, and she says, I'm not going to do it. All right, now, when she does that, and she says, I'm not going to do it, then I can still get the blessing, because I'm still going to follow my commander. I'm still going to be protected. Are you listening to me? I'm staying close to him, or those fiery darts of the devil, when the fiery darts of the devil stay there, comes at me, I'm so close to him that they can't touch me. They can't hurt me. But what happens, you ever see somebody shoot an arrow over top the wall? You ever see that? The people that's close to the wall on the inside, they're not going to get hurt. It's not going to hurt them. But those ones, it's just kind of just not doing what they should be doing and not aware. What happens? Those fiery darts of the devil is going to hit them. And it's going to hurt them. They're going to get their feelings hurt, and they're going to get all sorts of things that happen in their life, and they're going to walk around saying, boy, I'm wounded, and I'm hurt, and I'm down, and I'm discouraged. Well, they wouldn't have to be that way if they stay close to the Lord. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. All right? So if they're close to the Lord, are they ever going to get offended? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Are they ever going to get their feelings hurt? Yeah, but they may get over it pretty quick if they're close to the Lord. He is the great physician, is he not? He's the one that can do more healing than you can do yourself, can he not? All right? And so what I do is I stay close to him. All right? Now, and my wife folds her arms, and she said, I'm not going to do it. I don't care. The roses are going to die anyway. But then if she's close to me and we walk together, now, one day my boy rebels, folds your arms, and rebel and stomp like a teenager. Stomp, stomp, stomp. And, boy, he's rejoicing that he's rebelling. And all right? And so what happens then? Then, all right, not close, and so there's no protection there. My little girl, the same. No protection there. All right? Now, what am I saying? Thank you. Be seated. And you did a wonderful job. Thank you. Now, watch what it says here. The Bible says, listen to it, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible says, thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, wait a minute. I cannot have the grace. Stay with the thought that Paul is giving here. I cannot have the grace of God unless I am at the place where I'm in someone that is stronger than me. The grace is found in Christ Jesus. The grace is not found outside of Christ Jesus. It is found in Christ. Look, I'm telling you, the greatest stress reliever that you'll ever find in your life is Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the one that can give you more of a balance in your life than anybody else is Jesus Christ. Now, here's what it says. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 3, says, therefore, he says, endure hardness. So that means hardness is going to come. He says, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, how do I endure hardness? Well, he just told me. He said, grace is found in Christ. You know what you need to do today as a daddy? You need to make sure that your family is in Christ. You know what you need to do today as a mama? You need to make sure that your family is in Christ. You know what you need to do today as a young teenage boy? You need to make sure that you are in Christ. As a teenage girl, make sure you are in Christ. Why? Because only in Christ is God going to give you the insight to be able to endure things that come down the pike and that hit you broadside as a good soldier. Now watch what it says in verse 4. The Bible says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that have chosen him to be a soldier. All right, so God says, look, he said, once you're in there, there's the possibility you're going to come out and you're not going to endure. He said, but what you do is you stay in Christ. Now, it's not talking about losing your salvation. Once you're saved forever. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. So once you're saved forever. This is talking about a relationship. All right, my children will always be my children. They'll always be the children of their mama. But if they move off one day and they get married, they're not in the house. Thank God. Not in the house. All right? So a person can be saved, but yet cannot be in that which is the grace of God. They're not taking advantage of the things that God wants to do for them. We were in Cracker Barrel. The college took me out for my 51st birthday on Thursday. We went Cracker Barrel. And Saint rode with me. And, of course, he'd gone with me many, many places and soul winning and all sorts of stuff. And I love going soul winning with our college young men. And so we spent time together that day, and we were out soul winning. And so Saint was with me, and so we went over to Cracker Barrel. And Saint said, "Preacher," he said, "today's your birthday." I said, "Yes." He said, "51. He said, "You know, Cracker Barrel has these antique things." I said, "Yes." He said, "Can you show me the antique things that was around when you were young?" And I said, "Saint, when are you going back to Bangkok?" But I remember when I was younger, I remember, and you'll remember, you're going to go to Cracker Barrel today, aren't you? But I remember when I was younger, they had these clear type of candy holders, and we called them sugar sticks. But what they were is they were that candy that was just a stick of candy. And just nothing but sugar, and they had them, or they were striped, and I remember we could get them for a penny a stick, and boy, man, a lot, and that's when I was young. Now, if you're older than that, you probably got them for nothing. And so I said, "Well, I remember those," and he said, "Really? How much were they back when you were young?" And I said, "Well, I think they were this." And he said, "What about this? This looks old too. Do you identify with this?" We had a wonderful time as I took him outside hoping somebody would run him over in the parking lot. But I'm saying there's a position. And God has given you a position. You know you have a position in Christ. You also know you have a position at Parkside Baptist Church. And as a family member at Parkside Baptist Church, as an individual person at Parkside Baptist Church, there's a position that God has given you. You know, let me give you this, and I'll close. Just two thoughts, and I'm done. It's back in the days of the Civil War, and back in the days of the Civil War, it was illegal to sell cotton. The South was not supposed to sell cotton to the North. And so it was illegal, and if you got caught by doing that, you could be put in prison or you could be executed. I mean, it was just illegal. You're not supposed to do that. Well, there was a lot of cotton that was grown in the South, and so the North needed cotton for their uniforms and whatnot, and so many, many times it would send people to the South to try and buy the cotton. And so the story goes that there was a man on a Mississippi boat, and he was there, and he was a captain of the ship. And this one guy comes up, and he says, "Well, I tell you what," he said, "if you take my cotton up to the North through that Mississippi River," he said, I'll pay you $100. And the man said, "No, I'm not going to think of it." He said, "It's illegal. We're not going to do that. It's illegal." And the man said, "Okay, I'll tell you what, I'll pay you $300. He said, "Sir, I'm telling you, it's illegal. If we get caught, it could be a punishment of prison. It could be a punishment of possible death. We're not going to do it." He said, "I'll pay you $500. The man said, "I'm telling you, I'm not going to do it." Captain told him over and over again, "No, no, 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 no." Man said, "I'll pay you $1,000. All you got to do is take my cotton just a little bit up the river, and I've got somebody, it's a buyer up there, and he'll buy it. And all you got to do is just load the cotton, take it up the river, and we'll sell the cotton." He said, "No, I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it." He said, "I'll tell you what, I'll pay you $3,000. The captain said, "Get off my ship. You get off my ship right now, because you are too close to making me want to make a deal." Now, listen to me. Did you know that's exactly what the devil does in your family? He says, "You do it for this, you do it for this, you do it for this, you do it for this. How much will you sell out your Lord? Will you do it for this? Will you go ahead and just do it for this?" And there has to come a time in your life when, even though the prize money looks great for the devil to buy you out, that you have to stand up and with good, clean Christian character Look at the devil in his face and say, look, you're too close to tempting me right now, and so you just go away. All right? I'm saying it is so important that you understand that God wants you to live for him. Years ago, there was an older Church of Christ lady. And of course, you know, many of the Church of Christ, they'll quote that verse, Acts 2:38, where it talks about repent, be baptized. Of course, that's talking about believing on the Lord, believing on Christ, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, believing on Christ, receiving Christ as Savior. Then after that, you get baptized as obedient. But boy, she's just coming home from church, and she's all excited about what God was doing in her life. And so all of a sudden, somebody broke in. Boy, they broke in, and the robber was still in the house. And she started shouting, Acts 2:38. She's trying to preach to the guy what she believed, her doctrine, you know. Acts 2:38. Well, the guy kept hearing Acts 2:38, and he dropped his gun, put his hands against the wall. Later, the police showed up and said, why in the world did you drop your gun and put your hands against the wall? All she was doing is saying scripture. He said, no, sir, she wasn't. She was saying that she had an axe and 2:38s. You know, scripture means a lot to different people depending on how you view it. May I say this morning, you ought to view it and understand that your adversary is real. May I say this morning, you ought to view it and you ought to understand that even though your adversary is real, if you just fall in line with the commander, you'd be amazed what God can do in you. You'd be amazed at what God could do through you. Paul prayed often. He said, Lord, have free course through me. You know what that means? That means don't let anything of any way be a distraction in my life so that you can flow not just in me, but through me. We need to have that commander. Then you need to understand your position in Christ. As long as I'm positioned close to him, I can be more a part of his grace. As long as I'm positioned close to him, I can understand his mercy more. And it doesn't matter how many fiery darts of the devil come my way. If I'm in the right position, I'll make it. If I'm in the right position, I'll be safe. If I'm in the right position, my family will be secure. We have to understand we do have an adversary, but we've got a God that's greater than our adversary.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.